But have you spoken to Harris in the process of making this? And can you tell us anything about that conversation?
I'm not going to talk about the details of the conversation, except I would just say that she has a full recognition and understanding of the stakes of this race and of the importance of reflecting the broad coalition that's coming together to support her.
Well, I don't know about you, but I just couldn't make up my mind until Liz Cheney weighed in. Yay. I mean, I get up every day and I think, gosh, WWCD, what would the Cheneys do? It's my first thought, America. I know that you guys were on the edge of your seats just waiting and wondering what the Cheneys were going to do. I mean, that's how do the Cheneys take their coffee? What is the Cheneys' favorite cut of rib? Who do the Cheneys want for president of the United States? I mean, you know, they're the most influential family that's ever existed on God's green earth, right? I mean, God just made them special. Just saying.
And scene.
Hi. Welcome. It's Monday. Dana Loesch here with you. And we're at the top of this very first hour. And in case you can't tell, that's just both of them did. I'm just curious as to what they hope to accomplish with that. No one hears, wow, you know, Dick and Liz, they just endorsed Kamala. I'm going to just totally renounce everything I stand for, my Lord and Savior, and I'm just going to vote for Satan. I mean, that's what it kind of seems like, right? Oh, boy. So they did. That's what happened. Cheney, you knew, didn't she do it before? I really don't. I think she did it. I think she backed him before. Or backed, sorry, Harris before. And I think Cheney did. Dick Cheney, I think, I just know he doesn't like Trump. Dick Cheney came out with, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I read like the first graph and then I skimmed it. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, I love that people like him love themselves a lot. I don't have anything. I don't know any of them. I've never met any of them. But I don't understand this flex, if it's a flex. Cheney was mad. Let's see. Called Trump a depraved human being. J.D. Vance was a misogynistic pig. Oh, I guess it's Liz. It says that. And then Dick Cheney decided he's backing him as well. He said Trump is a threat to our republic and a coward. There you have it. So I don't know. We can all now go about our lives that we know what they're going to do. That's, you know, I mean, it's very important that we knew what the Cheneys were going to. It just changes the course of the election. You know, it. Oh, my gosh. Look at it. The world reversed spinning. The world on its axis stopped spinning and then reversed. We're actually going backwards in time. That was me talking backwards just then because of the power of the Cheney's influence. It's just amazing, right? Am I exaggerating that ever so slightly? No, I'm not, America. It's America's first family. We know that. We know it's true. So I don't know. The whole thing is weird to me. It's weird. I mean, who gives a rat's ass? Who cares? You're going to go, okay, you're going to go vote for, okay, nobody's cared anything since, like, what, the early aughts.
War criminal is all I heard from the left. War criminal as the description of Dick Cheney. Literally war criminal for decades, the Democrats.
Oh, my gosh. They have vilified him as, I mean, he was literally Hitler. What do you think that started? That started with Bush. Bush was literally Hitler. I have crashed. So I used to crash lefty protests and I would stand in the back and just make a ridiculous spectacle of myself so they couldn't air any of the footage. I don't know if you guys knew that. There's probably some B-roll of me like being really ridiculous out there somewhere, I'm positive. But they would interview these activists and I would be in the background and I would just go crazy because I'm like, you're not going to use any of this footage. You're not going to take this live. Anyway, long story short, I've crashed a lot of these protests. There used to be a website back in the early aughts called Protest Crashers and you'd print out signs and you'd just take a friend and you'd go. It was so fun. Anyway, I can't tell you how many of those I've been to where they were like burning them in effigy. Bush and Cheney. They were burning them in effigy. I saw like somebody spent the time. Who does this? Somebody spent the time to make a paper mache of both of them, gave them both little Hitler stashes, which actually kind of made it really difficult to figure out who the paper mache was supposed to be, because none of these people were like truly artistic. Anyway, so they had like little Hitler stash and then they beat them like pinatas and burned them. No joke. I watched that happen downtown St. Louis. I watched that happen. So I'm just saying, now, what's this? Well, I love the people who used to portray me as Lala Hotlar. I mean, that helped kick all of this off. So I just think it's weird. I don't get why they, I don't know. I mean, I can't actually say that someone's literally Hitler unless they are Hitler. That's kind of what the literally means. And I also can't say that someone's a threat to democracy or a threat to the republic unless they're actually a threat to the republic. I mean, granted, I don't agree with Trump about everything. I don't agree with a lot of the people that he puts in his cabinet or in his inner circle. But to sit here and say that the dude is a threat to the republic is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. That's like saying Marie Antoinette lived modestly. What the hell is wrong with you? This is so goofy. But why do these people come out and think that this is going to... I mean, that's a great way. This is just shows you how clueless they are. That actually drives people to support Trump. Because people don't like Bush Cheney. There's some criticisms. Now, nothing personal against the guy. I just think this is dumb. Just, you know, I don't know. It's just the whole thing is weird. And Lorraine reminds that the you guys remember that bio that film that they did of Cheney, Vice, and they said Cheney's actually worse than Trump, the guy who did that. Of course, it's literally Hitler. So I don't know. Are you greatly influenced now, Kane?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, if I was on the fence and I saw somebody like Cheney, you know, endorsing Kamala like he did, I would do opposite of that.
I mean, it's had such an impact. We're going to talk about some of the polling that shows her actually slipping a little, you know, because of the impact that it's had. So we're going to discuss all of that. Harris, speaking of which, she's finally published her policies, guys, on her website. Yeah. I mean, she's only been in the race for a couple of months. So, you know, I mean, no better time than now to finally put your policies up there. I love how did that Meghan Markle lady write everything on this website? Because it sounds like a bunch of new age word salad garbage. Listen to this. Vice President Harris will never hesitate to take whatever action is necessary to protect U.S. forces and interests from Iran and Iran-backed terrorist groups. Vice President Harris will always stand up for Israel's right to defend itself, except when asked by the press. And she will always ensure Israel has the ability to defend itself. Why don't you like say the same? Who wrote that sentence? She and President Biden are working to end the war in Gaza. And they said that such that Israel is secure and hostages are released and suffering in Gaza ends and the Palestinian people can realize their right to dignity, blah, blah, blah. Let's see, scrolling. I mean, she's going to defend Israel's right to defend itself by ending the war in Gaza so that the people who voted for Hamas and Hamas can realize their, quote, dignity, right to dignity, security, freedom, and self-determination. I mean, part of their self-determination is putting Hamas into power, but okay. So she gets into anti-competitive practices. I mean, it's finally up on her website. I unfortunately did look because I had to. It's part of my job. And it's called A New Way Forward. So wait, is it forward still or is it a new way forward? Ooh, notice that slight edit. Because forward is going over about as well as a turd in a punch bowl does at a party. Nobody, because they're like, you're in charge. You've been in charge for 4 years. What are you talking about? So forward. Wait, Kane, this is what she's going to bring for you. She's going to help you with groceries. Yeah. She's going to make rent more affordable and homeownership more attainable.
Is she?
Uh-huh.
How?
Vice President Harris is going to give first-time homebuyers $25,000 to help with our down payments with more generous support for first generation homeowners. So if you live here in the United States and you pay your stuff and you have your kids who live here in the United States and they pay their stuff and they have their kids who live in the United States and they pay for their stuff, get in the back of the line, suckers, because if you came over here questionably legally or not, then you know you don't get the $25,000 and all the houses are going to be $25,000 more expensive.
So government spending that got us into this mess, her proposal is to create more government spending to get out of the mess.
Yeah. It's like screwing to preserve virginity. Yeah.
It's not.
Because you know why you don't understand it? Because you're a sexist.
Oh.
It's because the plan originated in the mind of a woman. A woman with a lady bits. Okay. A woman. That's why. So sexist and maybe racist and some other stuff. Because you are white adjacent, let's be honest.
That's true.
So the new way forward. That's the super fun her policies up. Now, well, now you can actually see what she's for. She had to do it, and I feel like they rushed through it for the debate, because if she gets on the debate stage, then Trump's going to be like, she doesn't even have her policies up, and people are going to go to the website, and they're going to be like, hey, he's actually right. What else is he right about? So I think that's why they had to do it. They're really not a lot. Like, so let me just give you the headlines. This is what she's got. Cut taxes for middle-class families. And then she's got like two paragraphs about how the rich are going to get bent over a barrel. Make rent more affordable and homeownership more attainable. I just shared that with you. Grow small businesses and invest in entrepreneurs. With what? And they're talking about, again, they want to give money to people. Yeah, that's tax dollars. That's not how that works. Take on bad actors and bring down costs. What? Now, I want to be as dumb as the Democrats and take this literally. She's going after Hollywood. She's going after bad actors. Oh, my gosh. She's taking on Big Pharma to lower drug prices and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's see. We've got, provide a pathway to the middle class through quality, affordable education. And we're increasing government spending. Let's see. Oh, roads and bridges. Support American innovation and workers. But not by, I don't know, getting government out of the regulating the economy to the nth degree to where we're cutting or we're increasing capital gains taxes, et cetera, and making it impossible for people to invest. No, no, no. She's all about roads and bridges, guys. That's all these people know. They never went beyond Bob the Builder level education in elementary school. Everything is Bob the Builder. Well, let's see. My plan is Bob the Builder. I'm sorry. What is it, Madam Vice President? Well, we're going to Bob the Builder the hell our way to the middle class. That's what we're going to do. Roads and bridges for everybody. So that's actually what she's pushing that. So she wants, let's see. Oh, roads and rebuilding roads and bridges using materials made in America. Well, don't you got to make sure those materials are made in America, and what capital are you going to use with that? Because everybody's going to be paying more taxes. Okay. So then she's got invest in affordable child care and long-term care. Government pays for your kids. And then lower energy costs and tackle the climate crisis, which is the stupidest, like, oxymoronic statement you could make. So there you have it. Oh, wait. And then she's got restore and protect reproductive freedoms. Abortions and vaginas. There you go. You knew that was coming. So I... Nothing really comprehensive. No, no. Mm-mm. That requires thought, dear sir.
Good Lord.
Yeah, maybe Cheney could go write her some policies and see. He's already writing statements supporting her.
Less than 60 days out.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be anything. They're not going to have nothing. We got a lot more on the way because I got polling coming up for you. It's our partners over at Burn-A-Gun. It's a non-firearm. And for a lot of people, who have to work in areas where there's a lot of gun-free zones, or maybe there's certain restrictions in their areas to what they can carry or where they can carry. This is a good option in terms of having diverse self-defense options. So the most popular model for the Byrna is the Byrna SD. It's their best-selling option. And it has a 5-round capacity, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles. When you compare that to, you know, your basic stun gun, they're restricted to just a couple of shots at most. But with Byrna, you have a 5-round capacity. They have different models. They have different accessories, all kinds of stuff. And it's a good way to make sure that you're always able to protect yourself, even in areas where they're trying to prevent you from carrying. So it's good to have some options and diversify your choices. Learn more about the Byrna gun. Visit Byrna.com/Dana, BYRNA, for 10% off your purchase. There's no waiting period, no background checks, and it ships to your door. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so Apple's upcoming iPhone 16 is apparently going to have some AI capabilities. I do like the fact that they're kind of getting more normal sized again, because I am super... With some things, I'm very lazy, and I don't want to have to use two hands for my phone. Is that bad? That's like a first world problem. I mean, I have to strain to read. I'm like, and it makes me sad. But their ubiquitous iPhone's about to break new ground. It's going into AI. What is that going to? Is that going to make things actually work? Is it going to make Siri work better? Because my Siri hates me and does not do anything I ask her to do. She's an irrelevant tool bag. I don't use her for anything. Anyway, iPhone 16, they said it's going to be tailored specifically for AI. I don't even know what that means. Can that write text to people I don't want to text back? I don't know. What does it mean? Nobody knows. So anyway, we'll watch We'll watch for that. I'm sure that that's going to be more exciting than Cheney endorsing Harris. Also, the animal sacrifices on the rise in Queens, with chickens and pigs being tortured in twisted rituals. Yay, sanctuary cities. Woot, woot. Yeah, that's apparently what's happening. If you want to be walking in the park, I mean, just be prepared. You're going to see a bunch of birds with their heads cut off, or birds' heads that have been cut off. And in fact, citizens have been very upset. And by the way, a lot of them are like immigrants who came here legally that don't want to be playing in the park and watching animals' heads flying everywhere. I'm just saying.
Keep your pets close.
Keep your pets close. Exactly. They said that creatures were covered. They said there have been live pigs, severed pig parts, a near-dead baby rat tied up in a bag with chicken bones. I don't even know what that does. Freshly decapitated chicken heads, a live hen in distress. This is like the ultimate Cops episode. We've got it all. We have a near-dead baby rat tied up in a bag with chicken bones, a freshly decapitated chicken head, and a live hen in distress, and a dead dog with its neck snapped. I know, it's horrific. But they said it's getting worse. The animal sacrifices are happening more and more repeatedly, according to Sloan Queeley, who's co-founder and president of Animal Rescue in that area. They said that it's like an actual thing that they have to worry about. Tons of animal sacrifices that are happening. This is crazy. We're going to come back to this. Also, a Gen Xer with an MBA can't get a job despite over 1,500 job applications. This is like one guy's quest. Because of Bidenomics. He said his degrees have been useless. I agree. I don't think that you need to be going unless you're going into like law, you're going into medicine, maybe some kind of scientific thing. Otherwise, it's all just a giant scam. It really is. And police across the United States have been given a new UFO handbook, as they say that crafts pose significant safety risks. I hope the October surprise is the existence of aliens or Bigfoot, like something. Stick with us. Maybe we'll get lucky. Our partners that help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at Kel-Tec, the P15. If you haven't seen the P15 yet, you need to check it out. It is the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market, and that comes in two versions. You have the polymer version, and then you have the metal version. The metal version is really cool. It's beautiful. Those walnut wood grip panels. And it's ideal for concealed carry, from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. And it's, just game-changing innovation from Kel-Tec. You have the tritium and fiber optic front sight. You got the fully adjustable two-dot rear as well. It's super light and only 1.27 approximately inches wide. It's just awesome concealability, and you don't have to sacrifice stopping power at all. Check it out. It's the P15, only at KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
First of all, of course, I haven't seen what's in the report coming out tomorrow, but I do have a question about what they're doing over there. If they've had 3 years to assess what happened, why are they delivering a report after Labor Day in a presidential election year? I think it really feeds in to a sense that this is something they're using as a political football.
Stupidest man alive. Right there. Bob the Builder, Buttigieg. I mean, I just can't believe. I mean, it's the president oversaw one of the most disastrous withdrawals in any kind of like military history. And why is this coming up in an election year when his vice president said she was the last person in the room and advising him on it? Why is this totally coming up as a measure of her record? I just don't even know why. What? That guy. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bob the Builder Buttigieg. This is why they stick him and make him work on transportation, which should be the most boring job in the world. But because he is such an idiot, it's controversial. I just want to recap. He doesn't know why this election, being the first held since the disastrous withdrawal from what was then called the Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul, which cost us 13 service members. He has no idea why that's important in this first election since that happened. Like, that's so crazy. What? He has no idea. I've heard mall rats that had like more sense and had a better ability to read the room than that cat. Good night. These are the people in our government. These are the people that are making decisions about what our tax dollars go to. These are people that are making decisions about your roads and bridges. No wonder they're all falling down all over the place. Good heavens. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the polling that's out there, because if you read NBC, NBC is really pushing that Kamala Harris has an edge on Trump with women like Harris. Now, Before I begin this topic, I could either have my first response to this headline be something that is pretty neutral and everyone can pretty much go, okay, yeah, we can get behind that. Or I can tell you exactly what I think, unvarnished. Which do you prefer, the red pill or the blue one? Which do you prefer, Kane?
I like red pills.
Okay, you, no neutral milk toast?
No.
Okay, because women are stupid. What? Oh, I'm not supposed to say these things out loud. Like it's... I can't tell you how many videos I've seen where women have been asked, who are you voting for? And they're like, that lady with a vagina, that one, her, she's a woman. I'm a woman. I'm voting for her because of that. You never, I will give you this. You never hear a dude go, I'm voting for him because he's a dude. No, you don't. You really don't. Margaret Thatcher existed. So shut up. You don't hear that. Dudes don't do that. And women who like to use male characteristics by which to measure their degree of empowerment are the first ones to go, I'm going to vote for her because she's a chick. Oh, I don't care if she sacrifices babies and beats puppies with aluminum bats. I don't care. She's a woman. Yay, women. That's it. That's why. So that's the only, that's what I assume from this. It's the silliest thing ever. Now, the remedy to this, though, for some of the, what is it, black pilled or the new trad bros that are single, don't have any women, and they want to lecture like happily married couples that have raised children, have been together for over 20 years about what a successful relationship looks like. I'm just curious. Those people would say that you would take away women's right to vote when some of those women actually pay more in tax than you do and make more money than they do. I would say no, it's with better speech and to shut down those stupid arguments and to convert those women into voting like-minded the way that we would. That's the response to that. But I was looking at some of this because I don't dislike Nikki Haley. She did unfollow me on X, though. She used to follow me and she totally unfollowed me. I don't blame her. I mean, I wasn't mean, but I was honest in my criticism, but she totally unfollowed me. I cried for 5,000 days over that. I want you to know I was so depressed.
Sounds true.
Yeah, doesn't it? So she was asked about this through NBC, and she was telling NBC, well, it's because Trump and Vance need to change the way that they speak about women. You don't need to call Kamala dumb. But you don't have to. You can see it, but it doesn't hurt. And what is this? Well, she can. So this is politics. Everybody put on your big girl britches and grow up. Come on. I mean, either you can hang or you can't. That's it. That's the nature of the game. Good heavens. So some of the surveys, a lot of people have been discussing, you know, because Trump is opening up a little bit of a lead. I'm always going to caution you people on this. You know why? Because you tell Republicans there's a little bit of a lead here and they're like, oh, that's great. We can all go home and relax. And then that's it. They leave. I'm not even joking you. I've seen this happen so many times. So I almost want to lie to them and be like, no, we're so far behind. No, don't go home. Stay in. And no, you need to go out and be evangelizing. No. Because it is true, like every time. So you get this New York Times Siena poll showing that Harris is actually losing any kind of steam that she had. It was out yesterday morning, and it was looking at likely voters. Now, yes, it's not registered, likely. And it was looking at about 48%. It was 48 to 47, and and especially in some of these battleground states. That's where they pulled some of this from, and it didn't bode very well for Harris. And one of the questions was, do you want a major change in the election between Harris and Trump? You know, which suggesting, well, of the two candidates, which one measures the greatest change from Biden? And over 60% said yes, that they want a change, a major change. And then as the follow-up question to that, barely 25% of these likely voters said that Harris was the candidate that defined that change. In fact, it was 53% that said Trump was the candidate that actually defined the change. You have a candidate that went from the most hated Democrat candidate, I mean, hated amongst their own side, and in a true test of the media's ability to retcon her, they've tried so hard to remake her. Everyone thought she was a horrible candidate. Everybody thought. All the media. Think about 2 weeks before Biden dropped out, right? I mean, back in New York Times had a piece. Let me open this up. This is from this is last year. The headline, Kamala Harris is trying to define her vice presidency. Even her allies are tired of waiting. February 2023. They said Harris is struggling to carve out a lane for herself in what may be one of the most consequential periods in the vice presidency. They were slamming her for not knowing what she believes or who she was or having any kind of policy. It was echoed by The Hill. And CNN even said, quote, exasperation and dysfunction inside Kamala Harris's frustrating start as vice president. Politico echoed it. There's also a couple of pieces from Axios. Washington Examiner had a piece on some of these headlines. There's even more that weren't included in here. And when you look at the polling, and this was Real Clear Politics, right before Biden dropped out of the race, Harris's unfavorable rating was 54%. 54% compared to a 38% favorable rating. So the media, in a true test of its magical abilities, is having to retcon her and make and glow her up from the most disliked Democrat to she's now top of the ticket. None of them liked her. And they're all trying to redefine this. And I think it for a little bit, they had some energy going and they tried to, you know, they were trying to scam people. Let's have some enthusiasm, but it's not working. In fact, it's starting to die down. If anything, it's really starting to die down. The surveys on this, and there's the New York, and this is the New York Times CNN poll that everybody's freaking out about. It was 1,695 registered voters. And the candidates in the seven battleground states that are going to determine the election, Trump and Harris are tied in all of them. And I mean tied as in it comes down to literally what is the percentage of margin of error in each of these surveys. And so they're all, everybody's freaking out. Democrat consultants are saying, well, it's the end of the honeymoon phase. Is it though? Is it just the end of the honeymoon phase or is there more to it than that? Feels like there's more to it than that. So it's a narrow lead in this New York Times Siena poll, but it's a lead nonetheless. It is, and it is within the 3-point margin of error, but this is one of the first times that there has been that much, that Trump has been this much ahead. And again, it's within the margin of error, 3-point, and reduces it down to a 1-point. But that's a first for the New York Times Siena poll. And furthermore, goes along with what some of the other local media are reporting in some of these battleground states. Now, there have been a few others. You have 538 that we've talked about as well. CNN, they've been freaking out. They're saying, oh my gosh, in some of these swing states, Harris is losing her edge. CNN was freaking out. They were saying in Pennsylvania, this could be a deciding factor. They're saying that she's really struggling. They said in Pennsylvania that the race is tightening. And when you looked at the polls just, you know, a month ago, they noted that New York Times had Harris plus 4, Quinnipiac had her plus 3, and Franklin and Marshall had plus 3, although that was, I thought, kind of a trash. I had that in my notes, but I didn't go to it because I thought it was too small and I thought it was oversampled. But this is, it's kind of interesting. They're very nervous. I think that she's also, keep in mind, I don't think that she's really looking to play to Pennsylvania. I think that they're making a play for Georgia. So CNN's freaking out over Pennsylvania by way of not picking Shapiro to be her VP. I think that they're foregoing all of that and heading and just hitting, wanting to hit Georgia because Georgia's flippable. It definitely is. So Some of these surveys, we're going to see more and more of them, and I think it'll probably even tighten up even more. This debate is going to be a make or break for her. I think it's also Trump's to lose. Trump will win unless he chooses not to. This debate, I think that's a fair assessment. Don't you think so, Kane? Yeah. I think that he will win unless he chooses to lose. I hope that he is super disciplined with message because what she's going to try to do, and if I were advising her, I would say you need to get off the issues as often and as quickly as possible, and you need to roll into identity politics, and you need to try to showcase him as a short-tempered divider. That's what you're going to have to do, and you need to keep him off his game the entire time. Act in unpredictable ways. And that's I think, going to require way more creativity than she has and more quick-thinking ability than she has. I don't think that's something that she's going to be able to do. But that's what they would need to do in order to force Trump's hand and push his buttons. And I don't think he's going to lose his cool. I think that there's always a potential that he may say something that you could try to make a T-shirt off of. But what does that do in terms of moving the needle, right? Like, does anybody care? Because even the people that would buy those shirts can't, because they're broke, because they can't afford anything anymore thanks to Bidenomics. I don't know. I mean, good grief. Just look at some of the latest stuff that we have with immigration that we're going to be talking about coming up. So the reality is that she is, any steam that the media was manufacturing for her, she is losing. And I hope at the debate, and one of the reasons why I played the Buttigieg audio, I hope during the debate that he hammers her on that. You said you were the last person in the room. Were you not? She was the last person in the room. Anything that Dana Bash doesn't bring up, he's going to have to. He's going to have to be disciplined, and he's going to have to be very prepared and thoughtful, because I really think that he could destroy what the media has been trying to do in terms of building her up in one debate. She has the harder job coming up, not him. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there, and they do a lot to advocate for liberty and promote the liberty movement. And they also want to make sure that you can afford your cell phone bill. I mean, we're in a time when nobody can afford anything. Everybody's, you know, broke essentially, thanks to Bidenomics, Kamalanomics. And now, as a result, everyone's looking at how they can cut costs. Patriot Mobile wants to make sure that families are still able to stay in touch. And so that's why they have tons of different plans. They can tailor something for your family, no matter the size, your business, no matter the size. And they offer reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the left. You're not funding organizations that advocate against your values. 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make switching easy. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by other providers who just pretend to share your values or have the same coverage. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
What did you do? Why'd you kill the cat?
Smile for me.
Smile with your teeth.
Go like this. Did you eat that cat? Did you eat it? No, why'd you kill it? Did you guys see all this?
No, we pulled up and she was just laying there with me.
Did you see her eating it?
Eating it.
She was eating it?
Yeah, she was.
You call the Humane Society, see if they'll come pick this cat up. It's deceased.
That's so, like, in the road? Cane in the road?
No, someone's driveway, looks like.
Eating a pet cat in somebody's driveway.
Yep.
Oh, burf.
It looks like the walkway of this apartment area.
Yeah,
actually,
the video is really dark. Well, it's night outside, so it's kind of hard to see. That's so... I mean, this is something that they're having to deal with now in, like, for instance, in one Ohio town, they've been losing their minds because they said that people who have come in, and these are people who are coming in illegally, just, you know, flooding in, they're decapitating ducks in public parks and eating them. Oh, well, okay. They said
ducks.
That... people are running, going through trash cans, running into buildings, flipping cars in the middle of the streets, grabbing ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking with them. They're eating them. That's what one citizen was saying in Springfield, Ohio. This is crazy. This is crazy. And like one woman said that she's being driven out of her home because of all of the activity. There was one... they said tensions overflowed after a school bus crash. Someone who was in the country illegally, this person from Haiti, veered into the wrong lane and killed an 11-year-old in a school bus crash. That's terrifying. I mean, this is what you have to have law and order. That's what makes this, that helps, I mean, contributes to the stability of the republic. You have to have law and order. You can't have people running around like this and everybody coming in with no documentation. And what, Kane, you're over here like full of thoughts. I can tell your face.
Well, I mean, I have the audio and the video of Kamala talking about, you know, we need to support. This was, by the way, in 2021, she's talking about needing to support these Haitian migrants. And at that time, the number they gave us was over 100,000.
Yeah.
I think it's more than that, but here's what she said then.
That is why, also, starting with our administration, we gave TPS, temporary protected status, to Haitian migrants, 55,000. And then more recently, we extended temporary protected status to over 100,000 Haitian migrants for that very reason, that they need support, they need protection.
Okay, well, and again, these are people that have not followed the process to enter legally. Big difference. And now they're in Springfield, Ohio, eating everybody's pets, running into buses and stuff. Just insane. So some of the stuff we got on the way, we have more polling to discuss. The debate ongoing, it's going to be at ABC. David Muir is moderating this one. I think I incorrectly said Dana Bash earlier. I found a funny headline from the Babylon Bee. It said Trump is practicing by arguing with drunks in a bar. That's actually hysterical and probably actually legitimate training for him ahead of debating her. We got a lot still on the way. Stick with us. Second hour next. Black Rifle Coffee Company. You can get the complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. These are all of my favorites, all of my absolute favorites from Black Rifle Coffee. You got the AK-47 Espresso, which I love. Silencer Smooth, which I was on a kick of for a little bit. Now I'm back to the AK-47 Espresso. Beyond Black and then Just Black. Every flavor is amazing, and it comes in a really cool blue box, so it's a great gift for somebody who loves coffee. And all of their roasts, they get the best beans around the world. They bring them back to the US of A where they roast them in their facilities in Utah and in Tennessee. Veteran-owned, veteran-run, employing veterans in active duty, and they're dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes. They get equipment to these folks. They help with their health a whole lot more, and they serve premium coffee to people who love America. Join the coffee club. You join that coffee club, you're going to save on your coffee. You're never going to run out. You choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and it ships for free right to your doorstep. You also can get whole bean K-cups, ready to drink, all kinds of stuff. Now, quick note about the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. This is the ground coffee. I mean, you can still go and get, you know, the whole bean of all this stuff. But if you want this, the sampler, get the ground coffee. Get flavor, boldness, deep richness. This is just like one of the best things to get if you're sampling which one that you really want to have as your favorite or as a gift for somebody that, you know. Experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Get that Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler today. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana only at blackriflecoffee.com.
That bill I got passed and so said that Biden couldn't do it, guess what? $1,300,000,000,000 over 10 years. And we reduce the budget at the same time.
$1,300,000,000,000. I mean, 11 quadrillion million dollars. We reduce the budget. He sounds like Dr. Evil whenever he talks, like a less lucid Dr. Evil, like a far less lucid Dr. Evil. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. Channel 347, DirecTV. The chat happens over at Rumble. This, we also have... find us at Facebook and YouTube, all that good stuff. So the debate is upcoming. Biden's done at this time, right? He's nowhere to be seen. The debate's tomorrow in Philly, and I'm contemplating whether or not I'm doing a live thread. And the reason I'm contemplating that is because I know there's going to be a lot of notes and a lot of sound bites, and we're going to be juggling a lot of stuff. So I'm trying to make sure that. And I have Fox tomorrow evening as well. So I'm trying to juggle some of this stuff. So I don't know. Lorraine had asked that there's going to be an open thread over at Substack. And that's up in the air until I know more this evening, which is always fun. But because it might be a little difficult to be on camera and then, right before, right after, usually you got to be ready to go. And so we'll see how it goes anyway. But it's in Philly. Pennsylvania, a state Biden's made a play for, a state that Harris really, it just seems like Democrats have given up on Philly. or on Pennsylvania. So they didn't have Shapiro on their ticket, which I thought would have actually been a really good thing for them to do. But, you know, they're not listening to me. And instead, they got Tim Walz, who, by the way, speaking of Tim Walz, where's he at? Audio soundbite 10. Go ahead and let's go ahead and kick this off real quick.
And we did something a little bit. We banned banning books, especially banning LGBTQ books for themes in that.
Nobody banned books. Do these morons not understand the difference between age appropriate and age inappropriate? That's all that happened. It was just age inappropriate books without parental consent are not allowed in children's libraries paid for by the taxpayer. Parents need to know if you're telling their kids about, I don't know, like graphic sex. They need to be aware of this. So it's a question of age appropriateness. And the fact that these goofballs don't understand that, I mean, why would you trust them with anything if they can't even grasp this? So in Pennsylvania, they're going to have the debate. ABC, David Muir, is going to be the moderator. And I still think it's wild that everything is as close as it is. And I think that this debate is Trump's to lose. Already, if I had to say who won the debate, even though it hasn't happened yet, I'd say Trump did. Because, come on, guys, look at it. Is it really a question? But he could play his hand wrong. He could be too aggressive. He needs to be similar in tone to how he was in the debate with Biden. He's got to be like that. He has the opportunity here to completely destroy all of the work that the media has done trying to remake her. After they were trashing her 2 weeks before Biden dropped out as a lackluster vice president who had no idea who she was or what her policies were, to this. Now they're acting like she's, you know, the second coming of Thatcher in terms of influence and smarts, which she's not. But if he has that tone, if he's even keeled, if he has that approach, I think he'll win the debate. It's his to lose. This is make or break for her. If she has a disastrous performance, that's it. This is on ABC. So it's not just on basic cable news. It's on ABC, for crying out loud. If she's horrible, that's it. And I really do think that it would, I mean, is that too early to, I mean, because it's September, Kane. Yeah. Will the feelings about a bad debate performance last till November?
Well, I guess it depends on how bad it is, because we saw how bad Biden's was, and man, he pretty much dropped out right afterwards. So who knows? I mean, it could be a long-lasting shellacking that Kamala gets, and we're literally less than 2 months from the election, so we're not talking about a lot of time no matter what.
We talk a lot about his tone, too, but it's important to run. It's important to make mention of the tone she needs to have. And I'm going to be watching how she comes out and how she presents herself. It's easy to push her buttons. Very easy to push her buttons. It's easy to push Tim Walz's buttons. It was easy to push Biden's buttons. She has coasted on this expectation She's coasted on this image of being a cool as a cucumber, authoritative, smart and in charge AG, right? Top cop coming out of California. And it is a creation that has been attributed to her, not one that she has earned. She was not a good AG. She was not a good senator. She has not been a good vice president. She is just a lackluster candidate who got where she was because of what she is, not because of what she has done. This is identity politics where, I mean, equity has, she has performed well with it and beat out maybe more qualified Democrat candidates for her spot. And that said, she has to go in also with a very moderated tone. She has to look as though she is authoritative. She has to present the presence of someone whose reputation is having been AG, a successful one, and maybe a successful senator as well. She's has to leverage all of that. She's basically got to fake it till she makes it, because she's none of those things. This is the longest that she is going to be in the media's glare, unchecked, without a safety net. This is a wild time to have this be your first test. It really is. Consider it. This is her first. This is also the bad part about not doing press. Because when you do press and when you're thrown into that very unpredictable environment and you're having to answer questions and think on the fly and also moderate how you appear to look so that people can't glean information from your reactions, you know, your nonverbal reactions, she doesn't have any of that under her belt, none of it. Because she hasn't taken advantage and availed herself of opportunities to do that. That actually helps to hone your skills for the purpose of a debate like this. She's not tested herself. She's cloistered herself. She's been put away just like Biden running out from the basement. The fact that this is her first big test is wild to me. So she's got to come out and seem very moderated. She has to seem very cool. If she seems shrill, badgering, if she starts going into word salad territory, she's going to look bitter and angry and dumb and unprepared, and that will be disastrous for her. She has a tougher line to walk than he does. I mean, he has all the advantage going into this, and this is not a position I would envy if I were in her place, although I would have done way more prep than she's done. This is wild. Can you imagine, Kane? This is the first time you're being tested like this on the fly, having to, you know, come up with, you're going to be challenged by maybe a little bit or asked questions by the moderator. Then you have the Republican challenger going to be asking you questions. You're not used to being in a live setting in front of the press on camera doing this dance.
Yeah. And the only actual experience she has that we see on video in debate, she's been destroyed. So, yeah, this is going to be this is an uphill thing for her.
I mean, the more that you think about it, the crazier that it is. It really is. So I don't know. It's tomorrow. We're going to be following it. We're going to be following all of it. A couple of things too, as well, to get into this. Let's see. There's a few. I wanted to touch on this the other day because I ended up seeing this as an aside. I also follow an account called Woke Preacher Clips, which is very entertaining. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it is. It's very entertaining. I saw that there was this guy who calls himself a preacher, Reverend Ben Creamer. I don't know. He's in Idaho somewhere. He seems like a super lefty dude. He was talking about guns and firearms, or talking about Christianity and firearms. And he was saying that you basically can't be a Christian and own a gun. No, that's basically, that is what he was saying. He was posting, like, for instance, he posted like this, these weird, like selectively edited graphs. He was promoting Moms Demand, all of this stuff. And it made me a little aggravated, to say the least, about this the other day, yesterday, when all of this happened. And I responded to him because I have a major problem with people who do this. And he was saying that the assault weapons ban worked, and that he said he was 14 when Columbine happened in 1999. Congress passed the assault weapons ban in 94. And he said that it was lifted in 2004, mass shootings quadrupled. But first off, he didn't realize, as he said, he was 14 when Columbine happened. Columbine happened during the assault weapons ban, you genius. And furthermore, mass casualty incidents continued to occur, and every single measure of the assault weapons ban, including not one but two Department of Justice analyses of it, concluded that it had no impact at all whatsoever on any kind of felonious activity or homicides involving firearms. And I, you know, chastised this reverend. I said, don't abuse your position as a shepherd by misleading your flock about the truth on firearms. It had absolutely no impact. In fact, crime, after the assault weapons ban sunset in 2004, in 2005, the first measure of crime by the FBI, this report published in 2005, showed that crime actually dropped, interestingly enough. And the other reason that it had no impact is because rifles are not used in, typically, in felonious activity involving firearms. homicide involving firearms was entirely unaffected, and because that the ban targeted something that isn't used to as the driver of crime. And of course, this guy's shilling for Moms Demand, you know, a group that actively works with actual domestic abusers to target and silence pro Second Amendment women, which is shameful. And the other misnomer about it is the assault weapons ban didn't actually ban rifles. It banned the various attachments onto said rifles. So if you had, you know, like three or more attachments, then, you know, that would make your rifle an quote unquote assault rifle. You take the attachments off and the rifle's a normal rifle again. It's like Clark Kent putting on glasses. He's a totally different person. Take them off. He's, you know, Superman. It's just wild. But that's, it didn't actually ban anything, and it had no absolute impact. And I included receipts on this, but I cannot stand pastors that get woke and political like this. And woke preacher clips reminded me that this guy, his church raised money for abortion procedures after Dobbs. They raised money for Planned Parenthood. This guy. Unbelievable. See, as I noted, you know, one of the problems that we have and we're seeing, I mean, you have dwindling church attendance. And one of the reasons why you have dwindling church attendance across the nation is because you have people like this behind the pulpit.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I want to laugh at this headline because you guys know how I think about EVs. The $100,000 electric truck market's here. And CNBC has a guide to Rivian, Ford, Tesla, GM, the Tesla Cybertruck. Now they got the Ford F-150 Lightning. I love, by the way, my favorite thing in the world is to hear the left try to sell people in rural America electric trucks. Just imagine all the work that it can do. Yeah, especially when it runs out of power in the middle of the field, you jack wagons. It's actually, they said, is there an electric truck market? I think that's, everybody's broke. And no, nobody wants this. Nobody wants any of these. I'm going to be honest, I don't dislike the Cybertruck. It's not the first car that I would pick, but it's so weird looking. It's the appeal is the weirdness of it, I think. But they said that, these other trucks look more trucky. So I don't know. They've got the GMC, what is it, their Hummer? An electric Hummer. Go out into the desert, run out of power, and be stranded. Yay! I don't know. I'm not in. Why are they pushing this? So let's see. Hobby apps are becoming the new social media network. So they have, there's an app that connects people who run, and I cannot think of anything more annoying on God's green earth than an app that connects people who run, unless it's connecting bicyclers. It's a new app that does this. So if you are annoying and you want to be annoying with other people who are also annoying, you can all mob together using this new app and annoy the hell out of everybody else. Good heavens. Sometimes technology goes too far. The police in Denver, they want to curb gun violence that involve firearms illegally used by mainly prohibited possessors by banning food trucks. Banning food trucks. That's going to stop the crime, they said. Banning food trucks. Real thing. We're going to come back to this one. We got a lot more on the way, including law and order, the debate, immigration, and more. Stick with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dropping that you got. A bunch of people on a bus getting dropped off at a gas station to come down here. I know a single mom that FaceTimed me this morning at the welfare office that really needs something. And it's nothing but immigrants over there. And I don't even want to seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here. Because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them like...
Well, that's not how it works at the fair. I mean, Jiminy, can I just say, aren't ducks mean? Can't they be mean?
I mean, I find geese are more mean than ducks.
Geese
honestly.
Are jerks.
Yeah. I think geese are mean, and ducks are just like, ah.
That's so sad.
Whatever.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of the second hour. That's a guy from Springfield, Ohio. He's like, guys, you know, you got all these. And who is the people he's talking about are people who are here illegally. And there's so many that are being that are coming in and being brought in that they can't handle the influx. These areas can't handle the influx at all. And it's created a major problem. And this is, you know, this is what these residents are talking about. They had a council meeting. This is in Audio Soundbite 26 in Alabama. They shut the meeting down because residents were demanding transparency over all of these people who entered illegally, who are coming into the country. Listen.
Do we know where the individuals we're discussing are coming from? Where their point of origin is? Because you're treating them like lawful U.S. citizens, which they are not.
Okay, so I'm going to cut it off because we've had three people come up. I'm going to cut it off because we have no reason, again, we have no reason to launch an investigation or to treat people differently because of how they look. There's no reason for it.
That's
just what I'm saying. I just said that. Tiffany just said that.
Okay, so I didn't say that.
But I said it.
Tiffany said that.
There's no reason for us to discuss this any further.
That's how government works.
What a broad. Tiffany said that, so you're just going to say statements out of nowhere, just make up stuff out of nowhere and react to it. You're going to argue with yourself. Tiffany, are you of two minds, Tiffany? Golly, I can't believe these people like get into it. That was city council. So they shut it down because people were no one talked about how someone looked. They're talking about whether or not someone came here legally, and then after they came here illegally, they continued to commit crimes. That's what does that have to do with how someone looks? Racist, Tiffany. Tiffany's a giant racist. What a hateful female. Giant racist. Oh, it's how people look. Oh, because Tiffany thinks that all immigrants are brown. Don't you, Tiffany? You racist female. She thinks all that's how Democrats think. That's how you have, like, what's his face? Nadler saying that people will come over. Oh, they can. What did he say? I mean, crazy stuff. Like, oh, they can just do yard work or this, or Pelosi saying this stuff. I mean, yeah. Insane. That's not true. But that's how Democrats think. And by the way, they care so much about minority status, unless it's minorities who came here legally. And then the moment they come here legally, you're just white. That's how they act. That's how Democrats act. If you come here legally, doesn't matter what your skin color is, you're just basically white. Get out of the way. Because the people who are some of the loudest on this are Americans who immigrated here legally. Big difference. But Democrats don't care. They don't care about that. That's not the only. I mean, you have the gangs, the Venezuelan gangs in Colorado, which didn't the governor, he was trying to kind of deny that ever happened, that was taking place. And there was multiple apartment complexes. I have a couple of other. There's a lot of sad stories. In Louisiana, this one illegal immigrant was admitted to knife point rape and kidnapping of a Louisiana girl. So here's the other problem I have is I want you to listen to this headline. This is New York Post, which I don't think New York Post is not a left-leaning entity. And I do sometimes wonder if they do this because they get penalized in search engine results. So they said the headline is Ghost Migrant Admits to Knife Point Rape and Kidnapping of Louisiana Girl, 13. Oh, migrant. What? And so they'll say things, they go back and forth, this migrant or an undocumented immigrant. And then they finally say in the third paragraph, after they identify Diego Rodriguez Salvador, 23, they said Rodriguez Salvador, an illegal migrant from Honduras. No, he is an illegal alien, an illegal immigrant. Why do we have to do all this word salad? That's an actual legitimate legal term. This is what I get so aggravated about on Facebook. I can't. And if we have it, like I can say illegal immigrant. If I type that, if it's part of the headline for a video, if it's a title of a video on Facebook, they will hide the video or they will strike it. YouTube, they will remove it. So you have to say migrant. Well, what does that mean? Migrant makes you think of people who just migrate, right? And it makes you think, oh, well, they came here legally. It's above board, right? Or immigrant. Oh, it's above board. We are the only country that does that. The literal only country that does that. Everywhere else, you are an illegal alien, or you're an illegal immigrant, or you are an immigrant who got, you're someone who you got here illegally. You're committing a crime. You're a criminal because you entered the country illegally. Everywhere else, they use proper terminology. But here in the United States, it's not allowed for some reason. But this 23-year-old lured a 13-year-old girl into his car and raped her at knife point, assaulted her, and then he dropped her off in her neighborhood and then sped away into the night. He turned himself in after police found his car in New Orleans East, and they called him on the phone. And there was a little bit of a manhunt. They got him. They brought him in. They said that little is known about him, except that he is here from Honduras illegally. That's it. He is illegal. And then they say things like, this is what the Kenner Police Department said. He has an undocumented status in the United States. He's here illegally. Don't say undocumented. He's here illegally. The purpose was to not have documents so he could come here illegally. Stop doing this. What an insult that is to people who come here legally and join the American family legally. What an insult that is to diminish what they've done by conflating it, by using words like migrant or undocumented immigrant, and to conflate them with people who come here illegally. Do you know how unbelievably bigoted that is to do? So this guy's charged with second-degree kidnapping and second-degree rape of a juvenile. That's just like one of the latest. I can't stand. How often do you see that, King? That language that's used, migrant, or undocumented immigrant, and it takes you a minute to realize, oh, this person they're talking about already committed a crime of entering illegally.
Yeah, it's intentional. They love to conflate, too, when they argue. You want to argue. You know, we want our back door closed. If you lock your door at night, it's not because you hate everybody on the outside. It's because you want to protect the things that are inside.
Right.
And that's exactly the perspective. So they like to muddy that by saying, oh, you're against immigration, when in fact, no one is against that. We're just against the illegal immigration.
Right. And then in Canada, they caught an illegal immigrant plotting a terror attack in the U.S. And this is another one where they were saying immigrant. And no. Immigrant means someone who is here legally. This is a person who is in the country illegally. This is the problem with the language, and then the situation at the border. They can't even accurately discuss or will allow accurate discussion of the criminality involved. And it's a huge issue because it makes you think that, okay, well, they can't also, I guess, how do you solve a problem if you're not going to acknowledge that it's happening? Audio Soundbite 27. Remember what Kamala Harris said. This may come up, by the way, in the debate, which she said when asked about health care for people who entered the country illegally. Listen, Audio Soundbite 27.
A lot of you have been talking tonight about these government health care plans that you've proposed in one form or another. This is a show of hands question, and hold them up for a moment so people can see. Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Hold up her hand.
Let me start with you, Mayor Buttigieg.
Hold up her hand. There, she held it up. Held up her hand. There it is. So, why is that something that people who enter illegally deserve? Free? I mean, it's not free. Somebody's paying for it. I was at the border down, this is RGV area. I went down there at the time with Louis Gohmert. And there was, in McAllen, in this town, they had a lot of the community and a lot of the doctors that were providing these services for free. And they were being really undeservedly criticized. And I went down there and I was talking to a lot of them. There was a guy who donated one of these, it's like a medical bus where you can go and you can get evaluated. The reason they did it is because under Obama Biden, the demand was that you have these people come through and you have to process them. And they did not want to overtax their own resources and have their hospitals swamped. and turned into processing units for people who were coming across the border illegally. So they had to, the community was coming together and they were establishing these places for people to be processed. And they weren't even being treated like third-party government contractors, which is the weird thing. Catholic Charities down there was. But these people weren't. They were trying to alleviate some of the burden that was being placed on their own resources. And people who didn't know what was happening or how it was happening were attacking them, acting like, oh, they're providing these services for people coming across the border illegally, and that's going to just invite more. No, they're trying to keep their hospitals from getting besieged and keeping the government out of the town so that Obama Biden couldn't roll in and say, oh, look how overwhelmed they are. We need more government involvement now because we're going to have to get in and help alleviate. And they didn't want to make the case for that. So they were trying to manage it as best they could. And in looking at that, the majority of the people who were fighting it there on the border themselves were people who came from families that immigrated to the United States. And everybody comes here for the American dream. Everybody wants to have the American dream. And they were so upset and so angry to see what they valued diminished by the way it was just tossed out to people, even criminals who were coming across the border. No documentation, people who were involved in trafficking or drugs or who were coyotes, you know, all of this. And I can understand why they were, I mean, you get why they're so upset, and they were working so hard to keep their community from just being overwhelmed. It was truly unbelievable to see all of that. And they weren't doing it because they wanted to make it easier for people to come across illegally. They didn't want their hospitals to be overrun. I don't think people understand. I mean, I saw people literally in line on the street at a bus stop, given vouchers by some of the Catholic charities down there. And then they were lined up and multiple blocks, not even kidding you. The number of people who were down there was like imagine, you know, when you go to a small town and they shut the town down and they have like a festival. It was like that, those kind of numbers. I'm not even kidding you. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And they were all so overwhelmed. And where does that come from? You know, we got to give health care. That's exactly one of the reasons why these people were banding together to stop what was happening in their town being used as an example for what Harris just said there. Oh, well, yes, we need to give health care to people who are coming in here illegally and make that happen. That, A, you're talking about more government spending, government getting involved. How does that even work with all the legality involved in it? Where are Democrats for those people who are not being represented down there? You will never see CNN, MSNBC, ABC go to any of these border towns and actually talk to those people. They are terrified of Americans who immigrated here and who are very against these policies, terrified of them because they would destroy them in one soundbite.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man hiding in the attic discovers there's no hiding from the heat or from the law. Palm Coast, Florida. A man attempted to evade arrest by hiding in the attic of his Palm Coast home. Flagler County Sheriff's Office said on August 30th, hot and humid out there, that Michael Allison thought he could hide from deputies in his house on Piedmont Drive. Now, according to deputies, he was wanted on a felony violation of probation for warrant of unlawful possession of a controlled substance and driving with a suspended license. The deputies saw the guy go into his house. They knocked on the door. They announced who they were. They entered the home in search of him. And then they found out he was hiding in the attic. They told him to come down. And he did 30 minutes later, extremely dehydrated. They had to treat him at the hospital. He's 37 years old before taking him to jail in Florida summer, in the heat, in the humidity. What a dummy. I mean, at least there's no gators up there, right? I mean, could have tried that. As Kane says, old people aren't innocent. Florida man, 75 years old, tried to stab a patron and punched a manager. 75 years old.
I know, like, dang.
Dude, what got into his insurer?
Carrying that anger around for a long time.
No joke. David Gully, 75, of Palm Beach Shores. He was arrested and charged with aggravated assault, possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose, terroristic threats, disorderly conduct, simple assault. He lunged at a guy at the Red Horse by David Burke, I don't know, restaurant, during an argument over wine being spilled on the victim's wife. He got a cut finger. But there's video that we cannot play at all. They said that according to the people at the table next to him, he was saying that they're trying to slow down on the old spirits people. What in the world? And the man asks, it's apparently like two tables got into a fight over it, over wine being spilled. And one guy says an accident is why there's wine spilled all over her back. And he asks Gully, who's at the table next to him, do you have a knife in your hand? And that's when Gully lunged at the woman. And the woman screamed, no, David, before a fight emerged. It got broken up by restaurant employees. Oh, my gosh. Like, so this is crazy. Oh, dude. 75 years old. But did he spill the wine, though? He did. Sounds like it. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
And so for me, I wanted to make the announcement to do it in a way that wasn't connected to the party politics of the moment. I also happened to be in London at the Taylor Swift concert.
She was asked why she wasn't at the DNC. That's Liz Cheney, and she said she was in London at the Taylor Swift concert. What a flex. What a bougie thing. I was in London at the Taylor Swift concert when most people can't afford groceries. That's where I was. Just tone deaf. And first off, welcome back. Top of this third hour, Dana Lance with you. You can listen coast to coast. Find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lorraine has the latest of the news last week in Legal Up. Also, Rumble. And Channel 347 Direct TV. We're also on X, YouTube, all that good stuff. I don't like anybody enough to go to a different country and see them in concert. Like, I like live music, but there's a limit. You know what I mean? Would you? Is there anybody you like, Kane, enough that you would go to another country to see them in concert?
See them in concert?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd have to be, gosh, is Pantera out there still doing their thing?
No, Dimebag.
Love to
gone.
See that.
He'd have to come back.
You know, the last real show, this was early 2000s, that I was really impressed by was the band Slipknot. I know it's weird, but I kind of dig that.
I feel like Steve would go for Oasis.
Steve would definitely go for Oasis.
I know. I had the text thing set up when it went out, but then I ended up not applying for it because that outprices me. I can't do that.
I just thought that was so weird that she said that. Like, why didn't you go to the DNC? I was in London at the Taylor Swift concert. People are broke, and that's your... am I being too picky about that? It's just a weird thing to say.
I know. Like, I was just in the air first class at the time it was going on.
It's oh, you know she flew first. Oh, for real. Come on, you know she did. I don't know. I don't know why... Does her endorsement really do anything for independents or moderates? No. Does it do anything for the right? No. Does it do anything for the left? No. But the left thinks it does something for them. That's what's funny. The left thinks that this matters, and it really doesn't. It's just fun to make fun of. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't. I don't know. The objections to the report coming out on Afghanistan, I know we played this once, but I need to play this again. Audio Soundbite 7, Poot Buttigieg was really upset. Pete Buttigieg was very upset over this report coming out on the debacle that was the withdrawal from Afghanistan. And now the Bidens have, Biden-Harris have all these generals trying to wade into it to save them. Let's first listen to Buttigieg.
First of all, of course, I haven't seen what's in the report coming out tomorrow, but I do have a question about what they're doing over there. If they've had 3 years to assess what happened, why are they delivering a report after Labor Day in a presidential election year? I think it really feeds into a sense that this is something they're using as a political football.
No, it's literally when it came out. If you say his name three times, so you know, like in Beetlejuice, if you say his name three times, like he comes into your world, or you go into the set. What happens if you say Buttigieg's name three times?
I think that's two right
It's got to be like consecutively. Booty juice, booty juice, booty juice. What happens? Like a Bob the Builder shows up, like a possessed one. He is like that.
A bridge falls down.
A bridge falls down somewhere. So don't say booty juice. Don't say booty juice three times. Booty juice, booty juice, booty juice.
Have you no heart?
These national security leaders for America, it's these generals and admirals and a sergeant major wrote a letter blaming Trump for the issues that led to the withdrawal in Afghanistan. What in the world? These guys, they did this. Why? This is so, first off, wasn't it the Afghanistan government that made the agreement? Because they talk about the prisoners being released from the prison there. That was the Afghan government, I thought, that had made that arrangement. Because the Trump administration couldn't tell Afghanistan what to do with its prisoners, correct? Right. Oh, but heaven forbid. So I don't think these people actually know what's going on. And it was the Afghan government that did it, that had released it. The bottom line is that Trump wanted to, when he first assumed office, he was going to, because both sides were using, we're going to withdraw from Afghanistan as a major talking point during the campaign, right, in 2016. And Trump had said, we're going to withdraw from Afghanistan. We're going to get out of there. And that's going to be the end of it. And if you remember, he was advised by military members, let's not do this, because if you do it in the manner that you want to do it, then you're going to have a power vacuum and bad things are going to happen. You have to leave a residual force, which is what he ended up doing. So Trump followed the guidance from military that had been over there, that had been working on this and overseen it. He followed their counsel on this and left a residual force and was following their timeline. Biden goes in and he was hell-bent on being able to say he was the president that brought everybody back. So he didn't even want to leave a residual force. And if you remember, there were tons of reports on this. He ignored all of the advice, not just of the government in Afghanistan, but military counsel. He ignored everything and went ahead and wanted to do it his way. Even the timing was weird because remember, it was going, you know, you're going into spring, you have the harvest season, and then people, you know, they're the different warring factions go up to their houses in the mountains and then they come back down and they have fighting season. That's like literally a season over there. And they were telling Biden, the last thing you want to do is post-harvest going into a fighting season and have this be the time that you completely do a withdrawal. And he didn't listen to them. And so as a result, we got what we got. Not only did he not listen to them, but he didn't pay attention to the fact that as the Taliban was sweeping through Afghanistan, they were legit using WhatsApp as they were approaching different villages and negotiating the villages' terms of surrender on WhatsApp before the Taliban even got in. That's why so many of those villages surrendered to the Taliban as they rolled in and there wasn't any kind of conflict. They just laid down their arms and that was it, because it was all on WhatsApp. We knew this even before the plane flew out of the airport there in Kabul with people hanging off of it. And so they keep going back to the Doha agreement, and there were certain considerations that were not met in order for the Doha agreement to be binding. I mean, Taliban was supposed to cut ties with Al-Qaeda, which never happened. They were supposed to cease attacks on coalition and troops, which never happened. There were a number of things that they didn't meet at all. So the Taliban had no interest in following Doha agreement. They had no interest in keeping to it. And the idea that they were going to do so in the first place was kind of silly, which is why, I mean, the Trump administration didn't trust them. But now all of a sudden, everybody wants to act like the Doha agreement was just gospel truth and the Taliban followed every bit of it. Even the report that came out about this noted that the Taliban were in breach of that agreement, that they did not follow it. And so now that's why Biden and Harris have these generals trying to come in to save them on it, because they're getting such flack. I don't see how this doesn't come up in the debate. So it's being said that Beyonce was snubbed in the 2024 CMA nominations, despite her chart-topping country album, Cowboy Carter. I listened to the songs on that album. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't a great album. There were a lot of covers on there. Yes. You listened to it.
I did.
I mean, the Jolene cover wasn't a standout. I thought that it would be innovative, and I always like hearing different covers of, you know, iconic songs like that. It just,
Look, there's no denying she's got a great voice and everything, but there was nothing groundbreaking. There was nothing that came from that album that was like, oh, you know what, this stands out so much that it needs this attention. It was just, it looked like an effort that her label made her do.
Yeah, it's sort of, because she's, nobody's saying that she's not a good performer or that she doesn't have a good voice, but it wasn't as groundbreaking and it wasn't as innovative as the production on her previous albums. It really wasn't. And we talked about it like when it first came out. I mean, there were a couple tracks on there that were, you know, they were good and weren't my jam person, you know, style wise, but they were good, but they weren't groundbreaking. I didn't think it was incredibly innovative in terms of pushing the envelope for the next progression for sound for a genre. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it in that. And the idea that you should get an award based solely on sales, it's not how all of these awards things work. Like, Grammys don't necessarily work that way. CMAs don't necessarily work that way. It doesn't matter if it's a chart topping thing or it matters the production, the songwriting, you know, the overall composition, et cetera, et cetera. All of that fact, that's what these awards are measured on. So I really hope that a bunch of stupid people who aren't musically inclined are going to try to make this a big ordeal. Like, oh, well, she was snubbed. It's not a snub if it just wasn't a great album. And it's okay if she didn't have a great album. I mean, she's had a lot of good albums. Not everything could be a hit. And it seemed almost too formulaic. Like, oh, if Beyonce did a country album, that's what it would be
right,
like.
That's why I feel like her label was involved with making her do this. Like, there was some sort of
agreement. They were over-involved.
Yeah, in her contract where she's got to do an X amount of albums over an X amount of years, and she just did this one to fulfill the contract obligation.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And she kept saying that... the other thing I don't like is she was saying that she got a cold reception at an event, and that's why she wanted to make Cowboy Carter. It was at the 2016 CMA Awards. And she says that she did not feel welcome in country music. This is an industry that venerated Charlie Pride. Okay, stop. Not everything is a slight on identity politics. And sometimes and the country music industry is a weird industry too. It's like outlaws are sort of denigrated and then session musicians are sort of elevated, but then they do like the up and coming story. I don't know. It's just weird. And it kind of signaled to me that there was like a big label push into it, which maybe some of the more like boutique factions didn't appreciate. I don't know, but it wasn't a great album. It just simply wasn't. I mean, you know, I have a lot of artists that I like, and they don't always write hits, right? Metallica, Garage Inc. Wasn't their best. But that doesn't mean that you like hate them personally or have something against them. Not every album is a winner. And it doesn't mean it's a snub.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A 100-year-old miner's hat was stolen from a museum in Carbon County in Utah. Why would someone steal? I mean, other than it looks kind of cool. A 100-year-old miner's cap stolen out of the museum. It was an antique reminder of the county's past. This is the most boring theft story I've ever had in my life. Can I just be honest about it? It's a 100-year-old miner's hat. It's sad. A guy noticed at the museum that the hat was gone. I mean, what is somebody going to do with this hat? It's not like you can sell it. People are going to know immediately, right? It's very specific. I don't know. But that's, of all the weird things for somebody to take, why that? Let's see, this is interesting. Buckingham Palace. Wannabe boy races caught doing donuts in $100,000 cars. a BMW coupe and a Mercedes C63 AMG. Ooh, AMG. We're both spotted CCTV on the Pall Mall. After triggering acoustic noise cameras, the Westminster City Council installed the cameras to go off if events over 90 decibels happened nearby. Apparently, they were racing in the road. I got to be honest, like that big long road going up to the palace, that would be, that's, you're begging for drag races there. You're begging for a race there. I mean, I'm just saying. This is actually disgusting, and I don't want to read this story. A guy sneezed in the shower, and it was gross. That's all you need to. Ontario has its first domestic case of human rabies since 1967. Human rabies. I guess it was a, was it a bat bite? They said that they're, I mean, this is like the only one that they've had. They've had 26 cases in humans since 19. I don't care. This is a boring story too. A guy guy got rabies. He got, he ended up getting a rabies bite. Also, a man went missing in Washington National Park on July 31st. He was literally just found alive. This is a wild story. He was yelling for help. So like he was in the Chilliwack Basin and a trail crew found him. I mean, it was like a month later. So he was missing for a month in the Cascades. And 39-year-old Robert Schock, he was last seen at the park on July 31st. They found him August 30th, alive and well in Chilliwack Basin. I want to know, did he hang out with Bigfoot? Bigfoots, big feet. Bigfoot, singular, plural, like moose, like what is it?
I guess Bigfoot, always Bigfoot, a group of Bigfoot.
We need that. A group of Bigfoot? Like a group of crows is a murder.
Yeah.
What is a group of Bigfoot?
Good question.
Yeah, I'm curious. Anyway, we actually need clarification on the plural form of Bigfoot. You know, I just feel like we do. Stephen Yates coming up next.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There was no deception, lying, or lack of transparency by this administration, either during or after the withdrawal. We did the best we could every day to keep the American people informed of what was happening. We conducted our own after-action reports and shared those, too, with the public.
They're really trying very, very hard to make this not the disaster that it really is. It is really coming back to hurt Biden and Harris after this report was released. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. That was John Kirby, who is, I like, he puts the glasses on. He's just reading from this paper. Very careful to denote that none of these opinions are his own. He's just reading them right off the paper. Very smart move. But it's still a disaster. And now you have this one letter of, what is it, generals, a Marine, all this, all trying to defend Biden Harris, and they're saying that everything with the Afghanistan withdrawal was all Donald Trump's fault. It was all Trump, every bit of it, which, as we all know, we all paid attention to this. That's inaccurate. Joining me on this, eating ducks in parks, CCP warning people about beautiful men and women, our good friend Stephen Yates. He always comes on to discuss the funnest things. Well, we really got some fun stuff today. As you know, senior fellow over at America First Policy Institute, and he is the chair of the China Policy Initiative and Yates comms on X. Stephen, always good to see you. As they're trying very, very hard to rewrite history on this, especially as this debate approaches and this report just came out, rewrite the history on Afghanistan. But bottom line is Trump wasn't in office. He did. I mean, for all the criticisms of anything that he's ever done, Trump listened to military counsel who warned him about what the timeline would be if he decided to do a full withdrawal. You have to leave a residual force. Biden didn't listen. And the disaster was on Biden Harris's watch. What do you make of this like push to redefine the history of this?
Well, the first part, Dana, I find extremely sad is the continued evidence of politicization of the top echelon of military brass. There was a time when we could count on multiple star generals and admirals to basically speak truth to power, speak truth to the American people, and basically stay out of partisan politics. And if they retired and ran, whatever. But these generals stepping forward are engaging in politics, not talking about national security and strategy. This is politics. And I find it sad. Perhaps it has something to do with former President Trump speaking of how he felt betrayed by some of these folks and having all of us having watched them engage in rancid domestic political politics for the last few years and suggesting maybe they should not hold office. So that part I find truly sad. Substantively, the part that the Biden-Harris team can't avoid is that Harris says she was the last in the room. Biden said it was his decision. And among their decisions was to give up the Bagram Air Base before getting people out of the Capitol in Kabul. That was never a part of the Trump administration plan. And to anyone who'd ever been to that country, it would be completely insane to go through that order of events. So there's this whole separate thing about, did you want to withdraw and end a war? Yes, strategically, but not under all circumstances. And then how are you doing it? It was the Team Biden decision with Harris as the last person in the room that decided you give up this massively invested strategic airbase before you get your essential people out first. That you just can't run away from that. And then there's the images of the people falling off the plane. That was their doing. And I think that the public can't get that image out of their mind, and they know it's failure, not success.
You bring up a really good point. Well, I mean, several really good points. But, you know, to regular, average, everyday non-military people who saw, why are you moving everything from Bagram to the, well, it was then the Hamid Karzai International Airport. Why are you moving everything from Bagram over to the Hamid Karzai Airport in the middle, you know, of an urban center where it's going to be very, very difficult to control in and out. It's going to be very difficult to maintain, you know, a secure perimeter. Just the basic stuff like that everyday people could see that this administration was doing, and then come to find out the military was advising against all of this. And Harris, she said she was the last person in the room. She was the last person there. So how does she, I mean, this is going to come up in the debate. How does she can't run away from this. She stamped her name on it. She was desperate for that influence. It's hers.
She's perfectly capable of saying something that is divorced from reality. We've seen that over and over, and I suspect another dose of that is coming tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It would shock me if this doesn't come up as part of the debate questions, but then again, those networks don't take my suggestions for debate questions.
I thought ABC listened to you. Like, so sad.
I might hope, but my hope is eternal, I guess.
You know, they're so conservative over there.
It should be. I mean, it was such a strategic moment. We've talked about it before, I believe. I think that was a once in a century, maybe once in a thousand years kind of inflection point.
Oh, yeah.
There were several very bad things that sprung out of the poison fruit of that tree.
Yeah.
And so, yes, there should be a question. She doesn't have a good answer for it. But I think that the fallback in talking about this, too, is not necessarily the geostrategy of Afghanistan, which I suspect most Americans are tired of, but it's the politicization of our generals that is part of the weaponization of government. It's a deep state. It goes back to the 51 who lied. All of that stuff. I think Americans know that and are fed up with that.
Yeah, I don't like seeing the brass, like literally people with the wearing the brass defending, especially in such an egregiously incorrect manner, defending based on politics. It's just it's inappropriate. I want to kind of switch gears and talk to you about now this they keep calling it a former aide. This was like her deputy number two. You know exactly where I'm going. New York Governor Kathy Hochul. This why did it? I've never worked in government. So I'm trying to figure out how to Kane and I were trying to make sense of this. How does someone who works in government and works, you know, under the governor of New York, afford not one but three multi-million-dollar homes, drives around in a Ferrari. Her husband apparently works in the government, too. These are government workers that apparently make more money than Kathy Hochul does or any, you know, average multimillionaire in the United States. That didn't stand out to anybody. That would have been my first warning sign. And then, of course, you know, to say nothing about all the equity she talked about. Of course, we're talking about the story we discussed last week. Linda's son, she held numerous positions in New York state government, deputy chief of staff. That's the number two. That's like right under the governor. And they apparently were successful in prevailing upon a number of government officials to ignore Taiwanese officials whenever they reached out during the pandemic. Why is it always Democrats that have these relationships with Chinese? I mean, we had the story last week, Stephen, of these, you know, the Russians paying some goofy influencers for videos. Well, China, I mean, this is why I guess Russia's the vassal state. China apparently is actually putting their people in positions of government, and they're apparently effective in blocking Taiwan from accessing our leaders.
Yeah, well, it's shocking on many, many levels. And there has to be an element of willful ignorance in this ignorance, because she was hiding in plain sight. And just so people can put together what should be obvious, there's the principal in government, there's a chief of staff who tends to be literally the top, closest, most important aide, and deputy chief of staff is the most important aide to that chief. These people are known to the principal. It's not like some far-flung bureaucrat, low-level appointee somewhere in a big government. This is right there in the inner circle, the sanctum sanctorum. This is known. And why is that kind of person there? Probably because of money from constituent relations. Probably because there are groups that are part of the reelect campaign and community outreach that they're trying to bring on board coalitions. But this coalition was pro-Chinese Communist Party. It wasn't like an ethnic organization. Right. These were organizations that were directly tied to the Communist Party of China, part of the United Front outreach to the United States. And so this, you know, when I went into government first couple of times, it was made very clear, you give up your civil rights when you go into government in exchange for privileged access and high responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera. You don't actually have freedom of speech. You have the freedom to leave and then get that freedom back, but you give some of that up. And we thought we were going to be monitored for ethics reasons. I mean, if I showed up with a new yacht, number one, I have no pigment, so I shouldn't be on yachts and getting sunburned, but I also can't afford one. And that's the easiest flag, is to find the expenses out there. It's the oldest thing in the book. And not only were they not looking, these things were hiding in plain sight.
And that no one in Hochul's office even, I mean, she's driving around, I'm looking at this the details from the Associated Press, a 2024 Ferrari, the property in Hawaii, $2 million, lived in an over $4 million house in Long Island, multi-million dollar property in Manhasset, New York. I don't even know where that is. And then the husband apparently got a financial boost for some of his business stuff in China. And they actually, this Linda Sun was actually helping to shape, on behalf of the Communist Chinese Party, messaging coming out of the New York governor's office to be more in line with Communist China. I cannot believe more jaws are not on the floor over this.
Me neither. And to spike the football on it a little bit, never forget that one of the first environments that the political warfare about COVID came out of was New York City. And she was there in that orbit. And to whom would she be loyal? The people that put millions of dollars into her pockets and her husband's pockets, or the citizens of New York or the United States of America? And so when people were told you can't talk about the China virus because that is promoting Asian hate, who do you think was front and center in that strategic communications argument?
Wow.
There's a lot of damage done by these people. And what we've caught recently is just the tip of the iceberg. But it doesn't take a genius to go back to the COVID experience. And that, I think, should open a lot more eyes than it has.
Yeah. I have, speaking of China, NBC says China's warning students against beautiful women and handsome guys who might turn them into spies. Do not be lured into false romantic relationships by foreign agents. They're warning their young people of the handsome guys and beautiful women. I feel like, you know, Democrats like Eric Swalwell should have perhaps maybe taken heed of this. This is funny that they feel like it's such a threat that they're having to like widely broadcast this to their younger generations.
Yeah, the honeypot's been around for thousands of years, probably since there were men and women in high places. And the Chinese have used it very, very well. I'll resist the urge to make a joke about flatulence and the certain congressman.
You're
apparently that was attractive to a Chinese person. You know, his was only one of the bad examples. You can't forget the driver for Dianne Feinstein being there for 20 years. There is a problem. And frankly, it's been this blind spot of wanting engagement and money from the community and thinking of it as an ethnic community as opposed to an international, foreign, political, hostile entity. And then there's the feeling defensive of when they say, oh, well, you're just against Chinese people. There's a lot of Chinese people that are not from the People's Republic. There are a lot of Chinese people that are not the Communist Party of China. This is not rocket science. We've really got to get better at this.
Isn't it weird to you, talking with our good friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comes on X, last question for you. Isn't it weird that, you know, last week there was the accusations about Russia influence peddling, et cetera. You know, we made the joke about the influencers, which I don't know if that moved the needle or not. And they make a big show of it. You know, you got John Kirby that speaks to it. And yet all of these that we are just talking about with the CCP, that never merits inclusion as for any mention in any of these press conferences. There's never any, oh, the CCP is looking to reshape our United States' messaging and agenda, you know, at the state by state level. I know Mike Pompeo had warned about it and everyone called him a kook they actually said he was a deep state kook because he was warning people about this. But it's true. But there's never any kind of press conference about this. And I just think I'm not diminishing or trying to say that the Russian threat isn't real. But my gosh, there's state agent after state agent of the CCP, to say nothing of the little substations that they had or the spy balloons.
Well, I will diminish it a little bit, just in the sense of perspective, and I hope people can kind of build upon this idea. But that couple in New York took more money and put it in their own pockets than the Russians allegedly put into that influencer campaign. And Russia is a problem. It is a national security challenge in many different ways. But is Russia killing hundreds of thousands of Americans now before our eyes? No, that's the People's Republic of China sending those precursor chemicals. Mm. And so we've got an active human campaign where they're putting people in positions of influence and exercising it, shaping everything from Wall Street to state government to apparently the United States Senate from time to time. And they're killing American families and communities. And you want to pretend like we should go into kind of hair on fire about Russia, Russia, Russia again? There's a clear and present danger that's already here, and you better start protecting Americans now. But if they believed in that, they wouldn't have opened the border for the last 4 years.
That's a great point. Our good friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comms, always on fire, always good. We'll talk about eating ducks by the lake another another time. Good to see you, my friend. Take care. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
As far as contrast, the contrast can't be more clear. It couldn't be more clear. If you think about 4 years ago, America was reeling. It was reeling. In a once-in-a-generation pandemic, it was isolated from the world stage. Crime was up. The middle class was sidelined. We saw an insurrection on January 6th in 2021 that the former president.
So the reason that crime has gone down is because they stopped counting the crime.
Absolutely true.
That's about right. That's how Democrats. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that tracks. That's about how Democrats approach all this stuff. Yeah.
They do the same with reporting on how successful schools are with graduation numbers.
Yes.
They do it all over. Everything that's government funded, they make up these metrics or they just completely stop reporting them. So it appears as though things are just par.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. That's, well, you could do that with anything, really, couldn't you? All right. We got today in stupidity. Almost.
All right. This is John Kirby. Juan, go ahead and play this because really?
Was anyone ever held accountable by the president directly for what happened with the withdrawal in Afghanistan? And if not, remind the audience why not.
We have all held ourselves accountable.
What?
For...
They've all held themselves accountable. Who? It'll probably never happen again.
In what way? In what way? Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse over at Substack. Find us YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.